The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Well, guess what? We're starting a series today called Jesus is Coming Soon. Somebody say, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. This is good for us to remember. Amen. This is kind of the foundation of our faith, isn't it? That we have a Savior who didn't stay in the grave. Amen. He's different than Buddha. He's different than Muhammad. He's different than Joe Smith, right? He's different than any other God the world could dream up. He didn't stay in the grave, right? And He left this planet, and He's coming back to this planet to get you and me. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you'll notice, you know, these are good words in here. Let's read the scripture again, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of all what? Hope fill you with all what? Joy and what? Peace in believing, right? So these are good things. Religion tells us that we got to be broke and busted and disgusted and depressed and without and, you know, miserable. There's some people that even believe wearing deodorant is sinful, right? Well, come on. If you wear makeup and deodorant and press your clothes, well, you're just all fleshly. No, that's nonsense, right? Amen. Jesus came on the inside of you. He's the spirit of excellence. He loves you. He wants to prosper you and bless you and give you hope and a future. And He's all about where your life is now. He's here now with you now. We talked last week that we're living in the now. Faith is now. Amen? You're saved now. No need sweating about tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now. Let's live in the moment. Live in now. Faith is now. Amen? Salvation is for today. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is for me now. Joy and peace and hope is in me now. So let's live for Jesus now. Amen. And we can abound in hope how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people will say, well, I got my inner power, right? I got a higher power. I'm my higher power. My idols are my higher power, right? My car is my higher power. My dog's my higher power, right? Whatever they do, right? The Holy Spirit is our higher power, and He's on the inside of you. Acts 1, 1 through 11. I'm going to read this to you, all right? The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both began to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up. Somebody say, taken up. Don't you know you're going to be taken up one day? That's great news. Jesus isn't coming to put lasers and fireballs on you. He's coming to take you up. Glory to God, right? After He, through the Holy Spirit, how'd He do it? Through the Holy Spirit, the same way you'll do it. Amen. Had given commandments to the disciples whom He had chosen. Somebody say, that's me. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Amen. I'm not a disciple of Buddha. I'm not a disciple of Redeemed Church. I'm not a disciple of whatever church I attend. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the best way to go, amen? I'm not a disciple of, you know, my workout routine. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? To whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. Somebody say 40 days. 40 days speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them. Isn't that glorious to think that we can be assembled together with Jesus, right? That's why we come to church. A lot of people don't see the reason to go to church. Well, we go to church because the Bible says assemble together. You can't be assembled by yourself. Amen. Be assembled. Be in an assembly that preaches Jesus. Amen. This is good, right? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, he asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, many preach and teach that this whole power of the Holy Spirit thing died off with the apostles. Jesus gave it to them. It started and stopped there. Well, guess what? I got news for you. The Holy Spirit did not die with the apostles. He's still here. And he'll come in and live inside and be with anybody who will receive Jesus as Lord and who will receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody. That's why miracles are still for today. Laying hands on the sick and miracles happening. All these things the Word of God talks about. Why would he tell us about these things if it wasn't for now? It's for now. Somebody say, this is for now. It's for today. Amen. Somebody needs healing today. We've had testimonies coming in of people being healed. Brother Keith was just sharing in his letter testimonies of people being healed, right? And different types of people getting saved and so forth. So it's for now. Now, when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they watched, he was taken up. Somebody say, he was taken up, right? You ever heard, beam me up, Scotty, right? Jesus literally levitated and just kept going. Bye. My work's done here, right? Amen. And he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And I can think of many times as a kid sitting at the Portland airport with my grandfather eating chicken, watching airplanes. And I would watch him and watch him and watch him and until it was gone, you know. I just enjoyed doing that. And so that's what these guys were doing. They were watching. He is literally, that's Jesus. Look at him. He's still going. 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 He's gone. Going, going, gone. Right? And what an experience that must have been. Amen? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, right, obviously, right, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, somebody say, this same Jesus, right, who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Somebody say, he's coming back. And don't you know the world has mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and cursed at that very thing in the Bible right there. But guess what? He is coming back. He is going to return for his people. Amen. This planet belongs to God. It's only, the devil's been kicked out of it. Amen. Why hasn't he come yet? Because there's a lot of people who still need to be saved. Amen. God loves people. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to miss heaven. He's given people as much time as he can give them. But we can see the signs on this planet that we are getting closer and closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now look at Genesis 40. This is the story of Joseph. You may know this story. If you don't, just camp out there in the later part of Genesis and read about Joseph, an amazing man of God. Amen. Joseph was the youngest, or the second youngest son, I guess, to Jacob. And his brothers were jealous of the dreams he had had and the greatness that was in his heart. And they knew he was daddy's favorite. A little bit of a dysfunctional family. Amen. Obviously. I'm going to look at a few verses in chapter 40. It came to pass after these things So here's Joseph. He's in prison, right? I'm not going to read you the whole story. But he just had a run of what the world would call bad luck, right? And he's working his hardest. He's doing his best, but bad things just keep happening to him. But Joseph kept a good heart before God. He kept a good attitude. He chose to keep serving God and loving God and serving people and doing his best. And so he's in prison for an unjust reason, right? Okay. It came to pass after these things that the butler and baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker, so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in prison to the place where Joseph was confined. Somebody say Joseph was confined, right? Amen? And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Amen. So here's Joseph. He could have had a bad attitude. He could have had a, you know, pity party all these years. Amen. He could have decided, well, man, they think I'm a bad guy. I might as well be a bad guy. But he refused to do that. He chose to keep serving. He chose to keep loving. He chose to keep believing. Amen. Even though he was in a place of confinement in his life. Amen. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad, right? So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Now here's Joseph. He's had a terrible, miserable run. And he looks at these guys and goes, hey guys, what's wrong? See, when there's a man who loves God, stuff just doesn't touch him, right? Because he loves God. He's got his faith in God. Amen? And they said to him, we have had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed them in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you. Somebody say restore you, right? To your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of here. That's what he says. You know, I'm doing you a favor. Do me a favor, all right? Amen. And he wasn't making up this interpretation. God gave him the interpretation. And we won't read into the other guy's interpretation, but this is just, you know, for the sake of the teaching here. But that word confined, when it says Joseph was confined, right? Confinement. Somebody say confinement. Amen. Because we can all get into places where we talked about it this morning with walls. Confinement. Confinement is not part of God's plan for you. Amen? Confined means to bind, to harness, to hold, to keep, to put in bonds, to tie, right? And some of us might feel like we're in confinement at home or confinement at work or confinement in some sort of a destructive habit pattern. But guess what? Jesus, his plan for you is to be free. His plan is not for you to live in confinement. Amen? But I like the last two definitions of that word confined means to make ready or to prepare. Amen? That also is part of that word confinement. So even though Joseph was bound, he was held, he was kept, he was put in bonds, he was tied down, he was making ready and he was preparing. Don't you know we can do that? No matter how ugly things seem to be in our life or what we're going through, we can still be prepared to make Jesus Lord of our life. We can be preparing for the blessing of God in our life. We can be keeping ourselves ready no matter how things look in this world, what's going on around us. I don't have to let that in. Amen? I can live in a place of freedom and readiness. See, we're talking here about readiness. Readiness for what? To get out of here. Amen? Amen. Even though all hell's breaking loose on this planet, guess what? I'm ready to leave this planet at any moment, at a moment's notice. But while I'm here, I'm going to be serving. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be helping. I'm going to be giving. I'm going to be sowing. I'm going to be reaping. I'm going to be prospering. And all that while, I'm ready to leave this place. I'm ready to get off this rock at a moment's notice. And Joseph in this story is a type of Jesus. Amen? He's a type of Jesus. And don't you know, Jesus one day is going to appear in the clouds and say, yo, time to go. Boom, we go. Somebody say, I'm going. Believe me, you don't want to stay here after that because you think it's bad here now. After the church is removed off this planet, it's going to get uglier and uglier and uglier. Amen. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter how ugly things seem, somebody say, stay ready. Stay in a state of readiness. Amen. Keep yourself free of junk. Let somebody say, I'm going to stay ready. I'm ready for the return of the Master at any moment. I'm making preparations. Don't you know heaven is making preparations for us? So we're making preparations for heaven because heaven is coming. Look at chapter 41 there. Just flip over a page. Verses 29 through 36. So Pharaoh has a dream now, okay? The butler and the baker, as you know, many of you, the one of them gets restored, the other one loses his head, literally. Right? Joseph interprets the dreams, and the dreams happened. But the guy that got restored forgot about Joseph. Now 2 more years pass, and he's still in the prison. And Pharaoh has a nightmare. And he says, I need somebody to translate this nightmare. Here's what it was. And nobody knows. And the guy remembers, oh, I totally have forgotten. There's a guy in the prison that told me I would be here, but the other dude's going to lose his head. And it happened. And Pharaoh says, bring me that guy right now. I need to know what my dream is all about, right? You know the story. And it says in verse 14, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly. Glory to God. He was all in a day. He was there for who knows how long. But just in the moment of time, boom. He kept his heart right. He stayed prepared. He stayed ready. And boom, he was delivered out of that in a second. Right? And he shaved and changed his clothing. Don't you know with Jesus, we can clean up and come to Jesus. But we don't have to clean up first to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus now. Amen? What guy that, you know, that breaks his leg says, you know what, my leg is broken, but before I go to the hospital, I need to take a shower, put a suit on, get myself cleaned up. No, no, come to Jesus now. Let him clean us up. Amen? Somebody say, come to him now. Come quickly. He's calling for you, come quickly. Amen. He's delivering, he's lifting you out of that place of confinement. Amen? Because he's got an assignment. We're trading the confinement for the assignment. Amen. I believe that's a word from the Spirit of God right there. Amen. So verse 29 through 36. So Joseph prophesies and tells the interpretation to Pharaoh of what his dream means. He's talking about, you know, you can read the story, but he talks about there's going to be a 7-year famine and 7 years of prosperity, so we need to store food for 7 years so that there's, when the famine comes, there'll be food for the people. He interprets this dream to Pharaoh, right? So in verse 29, indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt, but after them, verse 30, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. Somebody say, containment's coming on the whole nation, right? Amen. So the plenty will not be known in the land because the famine following, for it will be severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because he had it twice, right? Because the thing is established by God. This is why it's good to not just find one Bible verse and build a whole doctrine on it. Amen? He's going to say it repeated. He'll repeat himself in the word. Amen? Praise the Lord. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man to set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years and let them gather. Somebody say gather, right? All the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Verse 36, then that food shall be as a reserve. Somebody say as a reserve, or it's a supply, right? For the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land may not that the land may not perish during the time of famine. Somebody say, this is gathering season right now. What's this got to do with the return of Jesus? Well, I was praying about this, and this is what I see in this as compared to where you are today. We are in gathering season right now. That's why there's things called churches, because God is gathering his people together. Amen? So that wherever you live, wherever you're at in your life, so that things around you and you will not starve and grow famished in this time of spiritual famine that's on the earth. Amen? God is gathering his wheat into his barns. Amen? Why? To bless people. Other people will come and feed off of it. Amen? This is why it's important to have churches that love God, right? The word gather means to collect. It means to assemble selves. To take up. Remember, we heard about Jesus being taken up, right? Well, God is taking his people to church, putting them in places. I would compare it to these storage vaults and barns that they would bring all the grain and put it into. This is a comparison, I believe, of churches today. God's people need to be assembling together. Why? Because there is a famine in the world. And people need to have a place to go to get spiritual food. And get the wisdom of God and get saved and get born again and get healed and delivered and set free of their confinements. Amen? This is the God that we serve. Amen? So we're assembling ourselves together. We're doing God says. So there is a reserve and a supply for people to come and be fed. Church ought to be a place where people come and get filled with the power of God. And get cleansed and set free from sins and all whatever trash they're dealing with in their life. And get, you know, strengthened up for their life. Get the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Amen? Church is a place of life. It's a place of the truth. It's a place of the righteousness of God. Amen? It's a place of freedom. We are not here to help anybody die. Amen? We want to kill the devil. We want to take his head off, amen? But we are called to be a place of life, a place of resurrection life, a place where people can come and be assembled together and love God and grow together and be saved, amen? I heard Jerry Seville sharing yesterday on his broadcast, and he said that he ran into an old buddy from high school. And the high school buddy was saying, oh, Brother Jerry, or just call him Jerry, whatever. Man, don't you remember all the parties we used to go to and all the fun we used to have? He's like, but now you're a preacher. Oh, you must just have a boring life. I'm so sorry. And Jerry was like, listen, I'm having the time of my life, brother. Come on, come join. Come get saved. People are getting healed. We're seeing salvations. God is healing people. We're seeing all these wonderful things happen. But the guy couldn't get his mind off of sin is fun. And so, don't you know, sin kills, right? The truth is, Jesus is Lord. And the truth is, I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want Jesus to come and be more like me. I'm supposed to become more like him. That's the way this works. So I don't want to be around an assembly, right, or a gathering that talks about a Jesus that's more like you. I want to come to an assembly or a gathering that says, you can be more like him. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. We are called to be more like him. And that's a good thing. Somebody say that's a good thing. I know we're preaching strong today. John 3, verses 4 through 12. But you know why we're preaching strong? Because Jesus is coming soon. And I don't want to be answering questions to God. Steve, you had that church going for many years. Where are they? You'll be there. I'm just using that as an example. You know what I'm saying? Yikes. Jesus is coming soon. I got to tell you the truth. We don't got time for lies. We don't got time to dance around and play foolish games in the house of God and call it grace. No, no, no. Somebody say, I'm going to be more like him. Why? Because I love him. I love him. Amen. And heaven is nice and hell is not. Well, it's a matter of your opinion. Well, come on. I don't think anyone's in hell today going, yeah, I made it. This is just how I wanted to spend eternity. Nonsense. Amen. Somebody say, he's coming soon, and I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be in the assembly, because there's going to be one big assembly when we get there. Oh, it's going to be awesome, right? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just bow our hearts before you today, and we thank you, Lord, for showing us the passion of our Lord Jesus today, for showing us that you will not tolerate confinement in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we choose right now by an act of our will to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready for you. Just take a minute and just lay anything down that might be in your heart. It's just between you and Jesus. Just say, Lord, I receive you as Lord over every area of my life. Thank you for cleansing me today, for washing me out from the inside, for making me more like Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.